Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. Kind of back onto the usual pattern as we get closer to the end of the week. And our good martini, Jim, comes to us courtesy of a pair of different polls showing Republicans that they have pretty good standing to hold their ground when it comes to the upcoming Obama Supreme Court nomination. The president and his subordinates over the past few days have definitely tried to make the case that this is something that the Constitution clearly spells out. The president makes a nomination, the Senate gives a timely hearing, gives a timely vote, and this should be all handled easily before we get to the fall campaign, perhaps, and certainly before the end of the president's administration. The White House now even coming out and saying, oh, the president regrets his attempt to filibuster the Sam Alito nomination in 2006. But Republicans, courtesy of polls from NBC and CBS, can now take some heart. We see that in the NBC poll, 43% of Americans think that there should be a Supreme Court vacancy filled during this president's term. 42% say no, wait for the next presidency. At CBS, the margin's the same. 47% say do it now during the Obama presidency. 46 say no, wait. And obviously this falls along partisan lines. But Jim, if you thought there was going to be this massive groundswell of people demanding that the Republicans entertain the Obama nomination, not happening.
Yeah, if you're a Ron Johnson in Wisconsin or a Susan Collins in Maine, you might be a little more concerned about state-level polling. But the good news is that, as we might expect, when some polling indicated that one-third of Americans had no idea who Antonin Scalia was, shame on them. But having said that, the people who did know him were about evenly divided. Conservatives loved him, and most liberals loathed him. The public has had a few days kind of process the news, and it's pretty much about what you expect. Democrats think Obama must be able to replace it right now. How dare Republicans oppose it? And a lot of Republicans are like, no, we can take our time on this. Independents are about evenly split. If you're a Republican, you can feel pretty good about this. The people, by and large, the public is not going to say you're being unbelievably unfair, or at least it's going to break along predictable party lines. Now, obviously, you probably see more of a debate coming about this. If and when Obama appoints someone, maybe there'll be a bit more of a discussion about that nominee and less about this abstract concept. I think we all remember the experience of Bork was that if you rush out within 20 minutes and paint the person as a maniac, the public will not support that person. So my suspicion is that whoever Obama nominates, we're going to see an intense and furious effort to define within that first 24 hours.
On to the bad martini now. And if you were watching the CNN town hall last night with three of the Republican presidential candidates, you might have seen this breaking news, or I guess you didn't have to be watching CNN to notice this. But President Obama will travel to Cuba next month. According to reports, he's expected to arrive there March 21st. It's right around the same time as a Rolling Stones concert, and the Cuba baseball team is going to play against the Tampa Bay Rays in Havana. And basically, this is an attempt by the president to show that relations are normalizing with the Castro regime in Havana and that he's making good on a promise that he said last year when he normalized relations that he would like to visit Cuba. There's just one problem. While the U.S. has normalized relations, reopened embassies, taken steps to remove embargoes, certainly, that's not exactly been the pattern on the Cuban side. Their basic responsibility in this deal has been to treat their dissidents much better, but that is not happening. In fact, the very left-leaning Human Rights Watch reports the Cuban government continues to repress dissent and discourage public criticism. It now relies less on long-term prison sentences to punish its critics, but short-term arbitrary arrests of human rights defenders, independent journalists, and others have increased dramatically in recent years. Other repressive tactics employed by the government include beatings, public acts of shaming, and the termination of employment. So we do our side. They clearly don't do their side, and we keep rewarding them.
You know, the only thing I liked in everything you laid out there, Greg, for those of us who feel like we've taken it way too easy on the brutal dictatorial Cuban regime, for those who want to see the Castro brothers get what's coming to them, at least we're starting by making them sit through a Tampa Bay Rays game. Marco Rubio had a very good answer on this last night where he said, look, people ask you, don't you want to see, you know, improved relationship with Cuba? And he's like, yeah, but I don't just want to be nicer to them for the sake of being nicer to them. There are no elections in Cuba. There is no freedom in Cuba. You don't get to speak out against the government. You don't get to choose what you want to do with your life. You know, you are a It's you serve the state, right? This is exactly what we're supposed to oppose in this. And somehow, because Obama has convinced himself that we're the aggressors here and that somehow we're the bad guys, he's going to basically give them all the pomp and circumstance of a presidential visit in exchange for what? I remember this when Bill Clinton went to see the North Koreans, right? I mean, an American president's – look, our allies don't get it that often, right? When you give it to a regime that is hostile to us, you sure heck had better get something, you know, in return for that. Get some concessions. At the very least, make the, you know, put a spotlight on their human rights abuses. And yet there's no indication Obama's going to do this. So we will see how this shakes out. But we have every reason to be very pessimistic about the outcome of the presidential Obama's visit to Cuba.
A couple thoughts here, Jim. You're forgetting one thing, and that's that the previous policy was in place before President Obama was born. That was his major argument for that it was time to change, if you'll recall from last
anything
year.
Anything old has to change, Greg. I wonder I wonder what Bernie Sanders thinks about.
And the other thing, it was great that that news broke right before Anderson Cooper talked to Rubio and Cruz, who obviously know very well through their parents exactly what the Castro regime is like and was like. And Rubio had a great answer. I'm never going there unless it's a free Cuba. And he obviously laid out very clearly what the grievances against the Castro regime are. Cruz did the same and also pointed out that he's worried about the president giving away Guantanamo Bay, not just closing the camp, but giving literally away the land where we have our naval base there by the end of the year, which is something the Castro regime has demanded in exchange for it doing its part of the original deal. So you never know, but hopefully the president's smart enough not to go down that road.
You know what? You're only president once. Lame duck, baby. Can't touch me.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And, of course, the big story all week has been the passing of Justice Scalia last Saturday. It took a while for the funeral arrangements to get in place. He will lie in repose at the Supreme Court on Friday. The funeral will be at the National Basilica, the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, on Saturday. And the reporters at the White House on Wednesday asked what the president's plans were.
The president and the first lady on Friday will travel to the Supreme Court to pay their respects to Justice Scalia as he lies in repose there at the Supreme Court. I can tell you that Vice President Biden and Dr. Jill Biden will attend Justice Scalia's funeral at the Basilica on Saturday.
So the president will not be at the funeral on Saturday?
The president will pay his respects at the Supreme Court on Friday, and he'll be joined with the First Lady when he does that.
And then in follow-up questions, Ernest could not give a reason for where Obama would be on Saturday other than going to the funeral, and he would not even dismiss the question that the president might be golfing on Saturday. So obviously that's led to a lot of accusations on the right, Jim, that this is a very petty thing to do, and shows that this is a president who literally can't cross the divide even for something like this.
You can pick one of two paths. There's no law that says Obama has to go to the funeral. I'm going to do something I did not expect. I'm going to quote Christopher Hayes, the MSNBC host, approvingly. He says, "Amazing advice my mom gave me once. If you're wondering whether you should go to the funeral, you should go to the funeral." And I think that, you know, that's probably good advice in life. And it's worth noting, very rarely do you get a second chance to go to the funeral. Usually there's a one-off.
Yes.
But Obama makes the, you know, like it was just last week in his, you know, weekly address, he talked about the negative, you know, attitudes in Washington and how our political atmosphere has gotten even worse and people are angrier and more distrustful and the partisan divide has never been worse. Well, if you want to solve the partisan divide, Mr. President, like if you appointed conservative Judge Miguel Estrada to the Supreme Court, all of a sudden it would do wonders for that, right? All of a sudden people would actually, oh, conservatives would love you, Democrats and liberals would be upset with you, and you'd be seen as a guy who wasn't always a predictable, down-the-line, lockstep partisan guy. But even separate from this, we just mentioned in the previous martini, President Obama will go to Cuba, but he won't go to Scalia's funeral. Now they can't guarantee that he won't go golfing that day. You know, Obama, you can make the decision to not go to the funeral. Like, you don't have to say nice things about Scalia. You don't have to replace him with another conservative. But you can't turn around and then say, oh, why is everyone so partisan? Why do Republicans not trust me so much? Why are they always saying these mean things about me? Look, you know, the President Obama, probably nobody does more to set the tone in Washington than the President of the United States. And so Obama's talking, oh, I wonder how this happened. Well, gee, you know, it's like the kid in the old drug commercial, Greg. We learned it from watching you. if Obama were just to say, yes, I am a partisan SOB, I will always do the most leftward course possible, I will always do whatever I can for whatever's in my self-interest, and that's the kind of president I am, fine. But he doesn't do that. He claims, oh, I'm this sensible, middle centrist, and oh, I don't understand why they're so negative, and oh, I want to change the tone, I want to be this bipartisan healer. Well, if you want to be a bipartisan healer, you have to act like it, and little petty things like this strike me as a good indicator of why President Obama has actually been very bad for the country over the past 7 years, and this last year can't go by fast enough, Greg.
Well, I think it is a window definitely into the way President Obama approaches these things. But I like to see a silver lining in this is that I'm not sure I would want President Obama at my funeral. Of course, at that point, I wouldn't really care. But
we can argue about whether you'll even ever know, Greg. Yes. You know.
Part of the reason might be is because he wasn't asked to speak at the funeral. And so I don't know if he feels slighted by that or he feels if he's not going to be.
This is what it's all about now. Was Obama properly respected?
Exactly. Because it's mentioned that Bush gave the eulogy at Rehnquist's funeral. And obviously they were more ideologically aligned than Scalia and Obama. But if you've ever seen Obama give a eulogy, his ability to make his eulogy about himself every time, whether it's Ted Kennedy or Daniel Inouye or some of these memorial services for tragedies, the fact that he's not going to be there might actually make the event far, far less troublesome.
I suppose, Greg. I just would point out, since Scalia's death, people have talked about his warm, close friendship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes.
Now, the fascinating thing, usually when you see somebody being buddy-buddy across the aisle, whether it's Mary Madeline and James Carville getting married or friendships across the aisle, usually there's some inclination that when you do that, you're inherently compromising. You're not, you're always willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the other side. You're not really a fighter for your cause. Would anyone argue that Justice Scalia was not a tough fighter for the strict constitutionalist perspective?
No.
Did anyone say, oh, he's a squish? He's too inclined to compromise. He's too nice to the other side because of his friendship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
That's applesauce, Jim.
Yeah, and then flip around. Do anybody think Ruth Bader Ginsburg is nice and soft on her conservative opponents because she's thinking warm and fuzzy thoughts about Scalia? Right? I mean, these two demonstrate you can be really, really principled and fervent and tough and tenacious and standing up for what you believe in and still enjoy the company of somebody on the other side of the aisle. Why would it hurt Obama to go to the funeral and not speak and just pay his respects and treat Scalia as if he had been a great jurist, which most of us would say that he was? Why does that hurt the president?
It would only gain him points. I mean, as this whole fight over the next nominee plays out, it would only gain him points in the public square, but he can't come around to do it. So, amazing. Jim, on that note, we'll reconvene tomorrow. See you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.